You know, I don't interview a lot of guests. I'm a little picky, but this podcast, I've got a guest I've been looking to interview for over a year now. And so we're going to sit down with my friend Jamal. And actually we met probably well over a year ago. We actually sat down for a cup of coffee, and that's when I really got to know him. Prepare to be inspired. Let's have ourselves a pocket-sized pep talk.
A pocket-sized pep talk. The podcast that can help energize your business and your life with a quick, inspiring message. Now, here's your host, Rob Jalas.
Jamal Marshall works as a global lead at the International Justice Mission. He enjoys working with people of varying ages and different backgrounds while facilitating them to reach their full potential. He enjoys traveling, writing, spoken word, video blogging, hiking, tennis, and when he has time, with all that out of the way, he likes chilling with his friends and family. So I want to welcome my friend Jamal to the show. Welcome to Pocket Size Pep Talks.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, it's good having you. And I have to tell you, folks, I've been pushing Jamal to come on this show where I don't interview a whole lot of people because I've been watching Jamal and I've been learning from Jamal. He has a very unique way of communicating with people. And, you know, right out of the bat, I guess my question is this. I heard you use a quote one time. And the quote was, to understand rather than be understood. What exactly does that mean to you?
To me, that means when I'm approaching a situation that could be with family, that could be a coworker, that could be someone that I may not know. I'm seeking to see their point of view and not bring what I already think I know, my prejudgments, to bear on them. That's what that means to me, specifically.
Yeah, and given the tone and tenure of the day, I think a quote and an understanding like that is all that much more important right now, that we understand. Seek to understand. I know for me, there's a lot going on out there that I don't understand. And before we started, I told Jamal, I'm real comfortable being interviewed, not so comfortable interviewing others. But when I'm being interviewed, I'm the one who's just basically telling everybody my thoughts. When I'm interviewing, I'm actually trying to understand the other person's thoughts. And that's what we're after today. Now, I know you work with a lot of people of different ages and backgrounds. For me, and I wrote a blog article about this recently, about what I call rituals. And I use rituals. The weekend to me is a ritual. And it's a classic. Are there any specific rituals you have when you're approaching conversations with people, particularly those who have a different viewpoint?
One of the main rituals I have, and I know it's going to sound a little strange, but it's just taking a breath. A lot of times we approach a conversation with our mouth already open, just firing off. And when that person begins to talk, we think, I already know what you're going to say, but what I have to say is more important. So actually taking some deep breaths inwardly, and just quieting myself and hearing them out and allowing them to finish their thought. So really just the patience of wherever they're going, telling myself inwardly, I'm going to go with you. Instead of taking you with me because I know what's better, I want to go wherever it is you're going. You lead me down this trail, so let's go together. Because many times, ritualistically, we tend to want to take a person where we are, especially in sales. Let me take you with me. But sometimes when you're seeking to understand, you want to exactly allow them to take you with them because they have a different vantage point. So that's one of my rituals, is I want to go with them because there's some things that I don't know. There's blind spots, there's things that I'm not privy to and I'm not aware of.
That's really interesting to me. You know, as a speaker, I can tell you there's certain things I can see resonating with audiences. And one of them is which I thought was important, I just didn't know how important. When I started talking to people about, I think, one of the most forgotten communication techniques, which is to pause. If you want to actually demonstrate that you're listening, pause. If you want to build some thoughts and actually take in what you just heard and say something intelligently, pause. But I think it's a very underrated communication technique. And so I'm glad that you bring that up, because it's not just for sales, as you and I both know. It's just how we communicate with others, particularly in this environment right now where, well, there are a few different opinions going around. I wrote a piece one time, Jamal, and it didn't get much play. As a matter of fact, I have a few people that said they never read it because they thought it was political. But I was trying to take how to change somebody's mind and apply it to the political theater that we're in right now. And that scared them off right off the bat. But if they had read the article, my point was, one, you need to pause. And two, don't even enter into the conversation unless you're willing to have your mind changed. You see, how often, Jamal, do we go in and go, well, I want to hear your point of view. But we're not hearing. We got our point of view, and we're just going to kind of force it through. If you're not willing to accept the fact that your mind could be changed, then why enter into the conversation and ask somebody else to change their mind, right? So, and sometimes that just comes from intelligently, first of all, kind of pre-planning that brain, but then, for goodness sakes, pause. I wish people would do that more often. And I'm glad you brought that up. When it comes to conflict resolution, what effect do you think this plays out when you're resolving conflict?
I'm glad you asked that question, Rob. Conflict resolution causes us, it calls for us to pause. You know, if you don't pause, you're gonna go in with fists flying everywhere and you miss things. You know, when you're in the mode of, okay, I want to bring resolution to this, I have to understand what is not readily available. And I have to understand what I don't see. And in order to do that, in order to take the blinders down, I have to be willing to listen to what that person has to say. And if I'm not willing to listen, I've already made prejudgments. That's where the word prejudice comes from. And my prejudgments has me already just mowing them down. And so on conflict resolution, I can say, this is why this person has this vantage point. This is why they have this frame of reference. This may change my paradigm when I realize, okay, things are not as they seem. And so in seeking to understand, rather than them understanding everything that I want them to know, I'm like, okay, wow, let me just actually listen, knowing that they have a different frame of reference. They may even have a different culture from me. Something that I consider just amazingly okay, they may figure is disrespectful, you know? And so when I listen to them, I get to see, okay, it's a quote from an old Disney song. It's so strange, but the lady sings, if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. And a lot of times, people that we even think we know best are perfect strangers until we start listening to them. And so in conflict resolution, our eyes become open. And when the blinders come down, it's amazing how it softens our tone and it softens our heart.
Okay, so let's move this to the workplace now, okay? How and I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. Why do you think this would be helpful, this type of mentality would be helpful in the workplace?
When you think about the workplace, especially in team dynamics, we all have different personality types, different work styles, different ways we get things done. You have the type A's who just plow, go, and you have the type B's that kind of just typically tend to be really laid back. And people approach project management with very different styles. You know, when we're not listening to each other, we're talking at each other and not to each other. And obviously, you know, in business, time is money. Time gets wasted the more we're up here talking at each other versus let me step back and see, why is this person approaching this project this way? And it could be that that's just their personality. That's just the way that they function. And why is this person kind of seeming like they don't really care about the project that much? It could be that their laid back personality is the way that they approach that project to take pressure off themselves and also put the group at ease. And so the mentality of seeking to be understood is, let me go with everyone individually so that cohesively we can all move forward. We move the needle forward when we understand, rather than wanting everyone to understand, this is my way, this is how I'm doing it. You know, that typically tends to lower morale. And so I really believe it's so helpful to seek to understand, especially in a team dynamic, but also even as a leader. the team under you, seeking to understand all the work styles and personalities. How can I bring the best out of my team? How can I bring the best out of my sales team to make sure that when they are approaching people, that they're actually branding themselves personally and not just trying to sell something to somebody? You know, so in sales, I would just say, always seek to understand. Approach a person showing them that you care. They don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Let them talk about themselves. Let them open up to you. It'll be like, what are your hands?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. If we jump back to that conflict resolution, I'd add one more word to it. Seek to understand, not refute. You know, how often do we sit there, particularly in a conflict situation, where We're, no, Jamal, I really want to hear your point of view, but while Jamal is talking, all I'm doing is preparing my argument, preparing how I'm going to tell Jamal I disagree or he isn't right. Imagine what would happen if we all in the workplace or in any kind of conflict situation actually told our brain, sorry, we're not playing that game. I'm going to open up and I'm simply going to listen to what this person has to say. I think I'm smart enough to actually listen, pause, as we talked about, and then I'll play it back. But you'd be shocked how often, if you actually just listen to the other person and quiet your brain down. I don't need you to work up your defense. This isn't, we're not in a court of law. Just listen up, how much more effective our communication can be. And how much more empathetic our communication can be. Now, I've heard you talk about empathetic listening before. Can you tell me what that is and why you believe that, why that might be risky?
Well, the thing about empathetic listening, especially based on personality and based on our way of thinking, is that when you listen empathetically, you open yourself up to be influenced. And a lot of times when you're seeking to be understood, you don't want to be influenced. This is my thought, this is my pattern of thinking, this is the way things are done, and this is how we're doing it, this is how I'm approaching this, this is why you're wrong, this is why I'm right, and this is why you need to see things my way. Empathetic listening means I actually want to get down to the root of this, and I actually want to understand exactly your frame of reference. And so when you open yourself up to be influenced, it causes you to be vulnerable. And a lot of times we see vulnerability as weakness. And so the importance is, the risk is that we have to be willing to take that risk to understand. But the beauty of that risk is that there's a reward. You never regret understanding where that person is coming from, because it causes you both to go together instead of spreading apart. But again, it depends on your personality type, the willingness, you know, yeah, to go there and to take that risk.
Yeah, I think empathy is an undervalued play as well. You know, when I ask salespeople, tell me about, just describe somebody that you deeply respect as a salesperson, somebody you've seen, you know, maybe a parent, a friend, a coworker, you know, they're honest and they're trustworthy and they, you know, they make the customer feel comfortable. They'll give me a nice list. The one I'm always looking for is empathy. Because to do our job right, you know, we can talk about all the happy things we want, but we are seekers of change. And people resist change, they fear change, which means frequently I have to ask more difficult questions to really make this a valuable conversation and to try and create change. Well, if I'm gonna ask more difficult questions, questions that don't always feel so good, and I don't understand what empathy is, you can understand now why those conversations don't often work out well. Empathy is huge. I'm glad you're talking about it. Emotional intelligence. We're talking about seeking to understand others. We know if we pause, we'll do well. We know if we apply empathy, we will do well. Talk to me about emotional intelligence and how that plays out in this.
All right there, I want to start off actually with a quote. And this is a quote from Stephen Covey, and I'll start and then I'll build on that. In his quote, he says, "You will never be able to truly step inside another person to see the world as he sees it until you develop the pure desire and strength of personal character and the positive emotional bank account, as well as the empathetic listening skills to do it." So I know that quote is pretty loaded and it's pretty long, But emotional intelligence means I want to see from your vantage point. It's in a sense of saying, give me your eyes. And so in understanding, emotional intelligence means that I don't know why Claire thinks this way, or why Joe has this work style, or why my family member Janice has this issue. But if I sit with them and talk with them and pause and give them the space and place to not explain themselves or make excuses, but just to share their heart, I develop an emotional intelligence. I'm approaching this explaining my, well, I don't want to say explaining, I'm approaching this knowing my ignorance. And when you know your own ignorance, it develops an emotional intelligence. Because when I think I know everything, then I already know everything. When I already know and I've come and I've approached a situation knowing that I'm ignorant of certain nuances, then I develop an emotional intelligence about that person because I've given them a place to be heard.
Huh. Yeah, now the Xeroid in me is coming out, the Xerox guy in me. And at Xerox, we had a process for everything. We like things that are repeatable and predictable. So I love what you just said. Process it for me. Maybe I'm listening to this podcast right now and I'm in my car and I'm thinking, that makes sense. Now, how do I do that? How do I become more emotionally intelligent? What would you say to that?
If I could give some takeaways, the main thing is listening actively. And I mean, anyone who's listening to this, Rob has said it time and time again, when we're already approaching a situation, thinking about what we're gonna say, we're not actively listening. Giving eye contact is a huge one too. It really helps you, if you are in a face-to-face situation, honor the person. You know, if you're on your cell phone, texting, doing a lot of other things while people are talking, already thinking about things, forward thinking during a conversation, that's not active listening. So active listening is huge because it helps you to hear. And then upon active listening, also considering different things about that person that are different from you. Their culture may be different. Their gender may be different. There's so many different nuances that make them them. Their own background, their own frame of reference. And so we hear the word, I mean, we've heard since we were little kids, being considerate. Active listening, being considerate, pausing, and then also revisiting a situation. You know, never thinking that in one conversation you will have resolution. You know, opening yourself up to revisit. And even internally admitting, I don't know everything. Just the internal admittance of that is huge in seeking to understand rather than being understood. So if there's any takeaways, I would say active listening. And one thing, when I am not present to that person, visually, mentally, emotionally, I'm not actively listening. If I'm on my cell phone, if I'm already forward thinking about the day or what I'm gonna say next, that is inactive listening. I'm not gonna understand or really get into their world and see things through their lens. And second, just coming and approaching a situation knowing that I don't know everything, admitting my own ignorance. And a lot of times that takes a lot of humility to admit, you know what? I'm ignorant of thus and so in their situation. And so it actually causes us to ask really good questions and unearth really good answers. So those would be my two takeaways, Rob.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know, you jump back to active listening for a second. I just don't think people understand that active listening is not easy. It's not. It's logical. It's not necessarily instinctive. It takes work. And you know, there's surveys out there, but one of my favorites is Lou Hampton's, who looked at it and tried to figure out what annoys people about those that are supposedly active listening, and overwhelmingly was interrupting me when I'm talking. And right behind it was fidgeting and kind of trying to get ahead of the point you're just hearing. For me, as somebody who's interviewing you today, Jamal, one of the things I've got a note on my screen is let the man talk. I don't have to keep coming in with, you know, that's something I'm working on, but I'm trying to understand, not work, like we said earlier, just actively listen. Okay, one more question and we'll wrap this up. Tell me something, a lesson or two that you've learned somewhere in your journey that you think has had the biggest impact on your life.
That's a great question. And I would say for years as a certified counselor, obviously, especially when you're working in a residential facility, there is a program involved. Like, this is the way that we do it. And I had to learn, even in being a certified counselor and sticking with the program, to know that I bring certain skills that I want to pull out of my counselees to bring forth the best them. In order to bring forth the best them, I cannot assume that what's written on this paper and the way that we do things is just how it's done. I got to realize that this person, I have 12 people on my caseload. 12 people have 12 different problems, and there may be 12 different solutions. And so listening to that person, person one may have a completely different childhood from person five. And so to listen to them, and a lot of times just to sit with them. So a lot of times orientation for me took more than like 2 days, because it took a while to unearth a lot of different things in them to know how best to serve them. So even in the counseling I do now, none of my programs are the same because everybody is different. And so actively listening, just living in that season with the person, will help you serve the person the best way that they need.
Excellent. Well, I can tell you from knowing Jamal personally that he practices what he preaches. He's a better listener than the guy who's doing the interviewing today, but I'm working on it. He's helping me. And I can't thank you enough for just opening up and sharing some of your thoughts with us today. Where can listeners connect with you online?
Easiest way to connect with me is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, Jamal Marshall. I think I'm the only Jamal Marshall on LinkedIn, so it's really easy to find me. I don't discriminate. Feel free to send me a connection request. If you're Forex or Bitcoin, I make it a little longer to answer, but send me one anyway.
Outstanding. And I had to learn this the hard way. I believe it's J-A-H-M-A-A-L. Is that correct?
That's it.
There you go. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Folks, you got a good one today. I hope you enjoyed it. And go out there, do something good for somebody else today. And for goodness sakes, actively listen.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please rate and recommend it on iTunes, Outcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more information on this show and Rob at Jollis.com.